Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
You have to cope by doing what?
Acting extra Ree!
Nice. Well, this is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
And this is Ree.
And this is episode 405 of the Who Goes Here podcast. Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Bienvenidos.
Bienvenue.
What's that?
I don't know.
Okay. Is that like French?
It's another way to say it, yeah. French, yeah. It's on brand.
Dope.
So how you fellas been?
You know, besides hitting like 30 fucking potholes on the way here, you know, it's...
We
survived.
You know? We had rainpocalypse.
We actually did. It like, and I'm wondering, since you're on this hill, Jorge, in Spring Valley, you're the top of the mountain,
here. Top of the chain.
Down there was fucked, huh?
Down there was fucked. We were good.
People like, cars were underwater, huh?
Yeah, people think we were whining and, you know, talking about our weather and like no, like there was parts of the city like literally flooded.
Well, it's just like. Earlier this year, we had a hurricane warning.
Which was nothing.
Which was fucking trash. And now, like, this, I'm like, oh, it's going to rain Monday. And then, like, I'm at work, and I see these fucking pictures online of cars underwater in North Park.
This was,
I'm like,
this
what
was,
the fuck? This was what just, the fuck?
This was just down the street.
Yeah, see? That's what it...
This was down our street.
Yeah. It showed Spring Valley, and Sophia's like, oh, I hope Jorge's okay. I'm like, he's on the top... He's on Mount Acropolis.
We're good, man. Yeah,
like,
good.
He's fucking fine.
Yeah, our pool filled up was the biggest problem here.
Yeah, that was something, though. That was... Do you think a lot of these places have, like, flood insurance?
And that's the thing. It's different, so I would hazard a guess that most people probably don't have flood insurance.
Because shit doesn't happen here.
It's different than, like, if a water burst in your house.
Yeah.
It's a totally different thing. So I would hazard a guess that a lot of people do not have flood insurance, and a lot of people are going to be out of homes. It's going to be really fucked up.
Mm. Yeah. I think Autist and Punisher, he raised, like...
I'm sorry, who?
Autist and Punisher.
Yeah.
he raised
Autistic
like
Punisher,
yeah,
dude.
He raised like 11 grand in like 8 hours. His whole studio.
You can't just call him that, dude.
I learned from this guy.
I learned from it was Matt. Yeah. Matt like fucking coined that, and that's fucking talent, dude. Because
he caught him good.
Yeah.
I forgot he's in San Diego. I was like, oh shit, yeah.
He's a San Diego dude.
His fucking shit got flooded. His whole studio was like the waste up. All the computer, everything got fucked.
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah. All his gadgets, dude.
You know who'd be happy about that?
Matt. Yeah. Yeah. I have three cousins and an aunt that work at a Catholic school right down the road. Completely, they're closed for like 2 months.
Damn.
It's, I guess, some of the water that came in was sewage, so they have to, it's like a contaminant.
Dude! So fuck crazy, yeah. Dude.
There you go, dude. There you go, exactly.
That's not even funny.
But yeah, dude, it was, what about y'all? Did your roofs leak at all?
I just had a crazy commute. But it was just, God, that's bad. It was raining really bad. But no, the roof's fine. This came on the heels, however, of, I don't want to go that. We had to put a little marquee down. Sophia and I had for those, many listeners will know, but Mark, our rescue chinchilla, had his GI tract begin to shut down.
Ripped to a real one, man.
And we went and saw an exotic veterinarian. We learned a lot about chinchilla GI tracts and did all this stuff we could. We're feeding him by a plastic syringe and all this stuff, but eventually once he started not being able to really move and get uncoordinated, we don't want him to be in pain and whatnot. But
he basically just gets backed up until his like internal organs like fail, essentially. Is that how it goes?
Pretty much.
Fuck.
Because the thing is too, because of course we're like, where, what happens? He's not pooping, and he was like still spry and like in good spirits, but he was just gonna like get used to a syringe feeding him. And also he wasn't drinking water, which is crazy. It's like he's not going and drinking water, and it's like, where's your survival instinct? And but it's like he's getting the majority of his water, I guess, from the syringe feed, and we had to feed him baby food. Anyway, all this stuff, and that. But we learned a lot about that. But now we have three. We have a little pet cemetery in the backyard.
Oh,
because well, Sophia has a thing of adopting of rescue animals that are they're transitioning and helping them transition. But yeah, we didn't know how old Mark was. But they said he's probably at least 10 years old at the vet. So in any case, that's been going on. So the roof wasn't leaking, but our hearts,
eyes were
our heart. Yeah, that's better. Our hearts aren't leaking. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. You, I mean, you should go get medical attention if your heart's leaking.
Yeah. There are two wolves inside you. Never know.
Both are gay. You're gay.
One is gay. The other is gay. You are gay. what else is going on?
What was I watching recently fuck, what was it? It was something that they were dropping a lot of F-bombs, and I was kind of amazed at how recent this was. God. Fuck. 1 second. I'll think of it.
What the fuck? So
I'm sorry. It's a bad way to start this story.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We were mentioning on the pre-show, but of course the illustrious Oscar nominations came out, which I know the horror hounds love to talk about. But you know, just I'm happy. I think we're all happy that Oppenheimer is leading the pack and continues to make its march into history.
Yep.
And if you don't like it, then you're wrong. And
go
watch Killers of the Flower Moon and then, you know, hurt yourself. Don't kill yourself, but maybe do some like, you know, non-suicidal self-injury.
Jesus. Yeah. Go skateboarding without a helmet.
There you go. That at least implies some fun. My God.
Never mind. He's right. He had a better idea. What else has been going on?
Skateboarding in traffic, you idiot.
Yeah, that's we've all watched a few things, I believe. Right?
I can't find the thing that I watched that I thought was interesting, but go ahead.
Fuck! Yeah. You, me?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh! It was, dude, so, oh, sorry. I was watching Chasing Amy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? It holds up, huh?
It does. The only
it's thing, really well written. It's weird how well written
it is. The only thing is, like, I know this was, it's 30 years old at this point, but man, it's like, the dialogue is at times super, super cringy and uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, okay.
Because there's people throwing, like...
Yeah.
And obviously, it is of its time, right?
Oh, the mid-90s.
Yeah, we were all dropping F-bombs, like, left and right, like nobody's business.
And he's not talking about fuck.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, even the characters that are gay are on the receiving end of it. I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, like, this is crazy. But anywho, it still holds up.
Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like you're a bad person for even. No. But yeah, the last time I watched it was about 10 years ago, and I was surprised that, you know, that it was as evolved as it was for its time.
Right.
Given who it came from, too. Because, I mean, I didn't anticipate that from Mallrats, you know?
Yeah.
Because I still like Mallrats. I think Mallrats is probably a bad movie, but I like it too much to admit that just
objectively. Mallrats? Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah, it's dope.
Mallrats is your favorite?
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, me too. That was like...
Because I am actual like a Mallrat. Courtney and I love just going to the mall and like loitering and just getting up to no good and just fucking around and then going to the movies.
Yeah. It was hard to imagine certain things being that on the nose, like... For that, because I was in junior high and I wanted very badly to beat Brody. Very badly.
Yeah, I could see that.
Definitely. Like, but I mean, when they talked about the backboards, like for the comics and all that, like, you're a barbarian, like, it's like, yeah, he's fucking right.
He's right.
His argument about the fucking cookie stand not being a part of the it's a, what is it? It's an autonomous unit for mid-mall snacking. I'm like, that's what I need to do.
Right, dude.
He's fucking right. It's not part of the fucking food court. It's not in the food court.
Speaking of comics, do you still have any of your comics?
I do.
Can you bring some over? The kids have really been into, like, everything. They ripped through, like, a couple X-Men omnibuses and a couple Spider-Man omnibuses, and I can't afford them anymore.
Yeah.
They're, like, $60 a pop.
What, you mean, like, trade paperbacks?
Whatever you got.
If I have anything appropriate, I'll bring some, too. I got a lot. But most of it's like Dark Horse and, you know, the grimy shit. So, but
why, dude? If why I are you into some... that negative stuff?
Oh,
yeah, dude, why do you infect your life with that? With that, dude, come to Jesus.
It's demonic, dude.
They like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics. Those are good. Those
it's
are
fun. Like when people show their kids Harry Potter, they don't realize they're letting Satan into their homes.
Mm, yeah. Oh man, that reminds me. You guys remember that the Monster Energy drink lady when she was talking about, like, and you know what this symbol is? That is 666. Mm. And when you turn the can upside down, what are you doing? Praying to the devil.
And the devil laughs.
That's fucking dope.
That's the
best commercial for that fucking shitty energy drink. Have you seen this thing? No,
I'll show it to you during the break.
But I'm seeing it now. Like, I see it.
You've already pre-seen it.
It makes sense, and that's great fucking marketing. That's a psyop right there.
Oh, they yeah.
Wait, so you want to talk about what you watched?
Yeah, real quick. I showed Courtney the Truman Show. She'd never seen it before.
Flick. Peter Weir, dude.
It was that or Cable Guy. I'm gonna show her Cable Guy next. So
I'm glad you chose Truman Show.
Yeah, Cable Guy is. Ronnie doesn't even fucking like really? Cable Guy, dude. She like gets halfway through and she's like, "Nah, I'm out."
It's hit and miss, actually. I mean, I'm not. I know I like that people defend it, and I defend it honestly. I like it, but I rewatched it within the last couple years, and it has its good moments, and it's also kind of like, okay, no.
There's like a weird subgenre for like when you're the creepy friend that becomes a little obsessive with the main character. Like,
sure,
I forgot what other films do that, but yeah. Well, fucking, finally.
Talented Mr. Ripley does that, dude.
Oh. Yeah, they're making a remake.
And that fucking remake looks good.
Yeah, that actor in it, he's in, like, a lot of shit now.
See, and that's why, like, it's based on a book, and there was a series of books that lady wrote. And a couple of them, outside of the Ripley stuff, were adapted into Hitchcock movies. So if you watch Talented Mr. Ripley, it makes sense. It feels like Hitchcock stuff because it's the kind of shit he would adapt. But this series is coming. I don't know if it's a series or a new film. Either way, it's coming to streaming, it looks like. It looks like it's based more upon the expanded books, too, which is... I'm really excited about that, actually. That was weird timing.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. Go on, sorry.
I popped my Jonathan Glazer cherry and watched Under the Skin for the first time.
Oh!
I took also a lot of edibles, and there was a moment where I fucking threw my headphones at the wall because I was so... not the wall, the ground, but I was... at the wall. Fucking... I jumped out of my fucking seat when that...
The pop?
The pop, yeah. The skin pop. That shit fucking... I was not ready for that. I was like vibing, and then it like turned into like a microsecond horror movie. And then... but no, that movie is fantastic.
It is microsecond horror, but it's such a heavy moment that it like penetrates and it stays with you.
Yeah.
You're just like, God damn.
It's... I had no idea going in it was going to be shot like that. At times, it's like a little voyeuristic, almost documentary, like B-roll footage. And it's because she's like Johnny Five, just more input. And
right, and it doesn't tell you that. It shows you the perspective.
Yeah, she's just absorbing the world, learning about it, and the cycle repeats at the end, how the situation she finds herself in is kind of similar to the beginning.
And Michael Levi's score...
so good. I've been listening to it all week.
Yeah, because it's a hard... I couldn't imagine the film without the soundscape. Like, because it's part of the thing.
Yeah, she has her own, like, hunting, like, song that always comes on every time she's hunting. It's
like Species, but good.
Yes.
Yeah, and what you were saying, too, about, like... because it shows, like, really normal... not normal, what's the word? Regular... just normal, regular stuff. Like, someone's on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's got now this kind of abstract way of seeing it. It's, like, because you're seeing the lights... dart off the helmet and stuff like this. So you're seeing these normal everyday things in these new, like, more expressionistic abstract ways because the perspective it's being shown from is, you know what I mean? And it becomes more aesthetic. Like the most basic shit become super aesthetic.
Yeah, and I like that it wasn't technically like too cerebral or elevated. Like, I mean, everything's laid out for you. It's just, there's just very little dialogue. That's it.
I love that baby fucking crying on the beach.
Yeah, that
shit is like distressing.
Oh, yeah, man, this is I forgot how dope this poster is.
The poster's dope,
man. We gotta get this for in here. I think
I like how you have this motorcycle guy who's like the cleanup crew.
Oh yeah,
visiting after every hunting ground. You know, that was really awesome. So I checked that out, and then I saw a couple of other films in theaters. Just one in theaters, one at home. Anatomy of a Fall, I watched at home. Holy crap, I want that movie. I feel like America is gonna like fucking buy the rights and like put out a fucking remake or something, because it just feels like something Hollywood wants. Even though half the movie's in English,
you're probably right.
I could see it. Like, oh, you're gonna have fucking Paul Dano as the new defense attorney. I don't know. Like, fucking
Paul Dano being a creepy dude, no matter what.
But it was phenomenal. Like, that is one of the most razor sharp screenplays.
It's
like
the screenplay.
That's it's so intricately layered.
Yeah,
like every single line of dialogue is important. You can't blink. You can't miss anything. Fucking every single performance, including this fucking kid, is like wow.
Including you're absolutely right. I saw it a couple months ago, and it sounds like you liked it even more. I think it's a fantastic movie. Probably like a 4.5 out of 5-star movie, because it's. There's nothing wrong with the movie, you know. I think it sounds like you liked it more than I did, though.
It really moved me towards the end, and just like the fucking just her whole not just that being put on trial for this murder, but like her whole life is getting picked apart on the stand. It's
and everybody's kind of like it's kind of puts all relationships on the stand and marriage on the stand.
Yeah,
fact that people's go to if there's a murder, like the first suspect.
Yeah.
Is their significant other?
I would
says a lot.
Yeah, I want her to win Best Actress now at this point over Lily Gladstone, because there's that 10-minute.
Well, wait till you see Poor Things, and then you'll.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wait till you see Night Swim, dude. Then
there you go.
Then you'll hope the pool wins.
Yeah, you're gonna hope that the pool takes the whole country over.
I want it so bad for that to be. I didn't say it, but like. Night Swim, like, everyone talks shit about it, and then it turns out to be fantastic, and be like, see, jokes on you.
Like, smile, it's like, oh shit, this is actually,
it made my pool terrifying to me, and like, no, it's just fucking,
it's just stupid, it's just a dumb pool thing.
It's as bad as it seemed. Anyway, so, the screenplay, like you said, for Anatomy of a Fall, even like, I think about like the, because a lot of screenplays, most of them, especially really well-written ones, a lot of the times, not all the time, they'll have instruction of what perspective we're being shown.
Yeah.
Like, it has the dog. It has, like, the structure of this and how it goes back and forth, because it's a little... It's non-linear a little bit. Then the second half is almost entirely courtroom.
Yeah.
Which is fucking... I knew you'd love that.
It was fucking awesome. I knew you'd love that. And I love that when they filmed it, the main actress, I forgot her name.
I knew you'd love that.
They didn't tell her while they're filming it whether she was guilty of the murder or not. So
that's
perfect. Her performance is completely unbiased.
The ambiguity's there. Yeah. And in the last scene, the ambiguity's there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did she, didn't she?
Yeah.
And what does the kid know? Oh, the whole perspective of the kid, like you said. What does he know and what doesn't he know?
Sometimes you just, you have to push. You have to make the truth whatever you want it to be, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. There's that unspoken agreement. Like, we're just going to move on
from
this and agree this is what happened.
Yeah.
And that's
dope.
Yeah. That's trash. And that's why we're all doomed.
Yeah.
No, I'm just
old. And,
you're not wrong.
And then I just saw one more movie. Courtney didn't want to see it with me, but I wanted to see this family-friendly film in theaters called The Zone of Interest.
God. Oh, yes.
And you could... this is my last one, so you could jump into this, too.
Yeah.
I saw The Zone of Interest, and... It's a fucking juggernaut. It's a subtle beast of a movie because subtlety is like the name of this film, you know? It's fucking holy shit. I didn't know you could show so much without showing anything. It's really an exercise of that.
Yeah.
And how, I mean, everything from Jonathan Glazer in the first 3 minutes, just letting the audience settle in the dark.
Like 2001.
Yeah, it is fucking awesome. He did some crazy experimental shit with the infrared cameras.
This looks crazy.
It is, Jorge. Dude. And that's like, it's like,
Just this poster alone is wild. This like stark black two-thirds.
And I didn't even get the... Once I saw the movie, then I'm like, now I get the poster. Because everything out there,
it's meaningless.
Well, everything here exists. Nothing outside this exists. Yeah. And right there, by the way, is Auschwitz.
That's why I'm catching the... Oh, dude, there's like human dust on the outside. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's fucking...
Every second of the movie,
I'm going to have to hear people die.
Like, that scene with the... I mean, I don't want to give... This is the kind of movie where if you talk about scene construction, it's a spoiler. It's that film.
Yeah.
Like, it shows that this is not possible in a book. You can't evoke things like this in a book because it has... It crowds the screen with stuff that's not... That you're not seeing. Yeah. Because of sounds.
Yeah, and it's...
And it's like, you know...
You could even take every single line of dialogue out of the movie, and it would almost be just as effective.
Oh, like, fuck yeah. Like, even...
so good.
Down to the subtleties, like you said, if they have the people that are their servants at the house, when you see how she takes the boots and the whole routine, like, you immediately know, like, this has to be exactly like this, or they're going to get fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so specific. Like, and it... You don't... It doesn't get explained.
Yeah.
She has to take the cup out with the shot on it a specific way. Why? And it just, you're filling in the rest that you don't see. She got...
Exactly.
They beat the shit out of her to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
There's that.
The scene when they go fishing with the kids and he's in the river and it's like, you find out it's like a runoff.
And there's the jawbone.
Yeah. And he's yelling at his kids, get out of the water, you know, and they got to wash everything off. And
Dude,
did you watch Virtual Insanity in your Jonathan Glazer?
I did.
From Jamiroquai?
Fantastic fucking video. It's fucking
great, man.
This is fucking Karma Police.
No, I haven't seen that one.
This guy's got an eye, man.
he's going
somewhere.
He's something else, dude. Fucking, I went on a Glazer Fest is why I also saw...
You got glazed?
I got completely glazed. Before seeing Zone of Interest, I had never seen Birth, which is a controversial film of his controversial second movie from, I believe, 2004 or 2002 with Nicole Kidman.
2004.
The premise is her husband dies suddenly. 10 years later, she's getting remarried, and then a boy enters her life saying it's her husband, and he's been reincarnated. And the way this is handled, it's got a lot of critical reevaluation since then. And it's, I don't want to say a cult film, but if you look at like the Rotten Tomatoes scores in the 30s, the IMDb is like a 6.8. So that's over time. I actually thought I'm among the few so far who think it's actually really underrated, but I was kind of ready for that. However, it has some really fucking challenging ideas about consciousness and about identity, which is not fucking unexpected from this guy.
Oh, I remember. This kid is spooky as shit, too, in all of his movies. He's fantastic
in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
And there's no special effects. It's all ideas. He does hypnotic shit with people's faces. Just like a static shot of a face in a camera. Like, and it's just like, it's mesmerizing. And there's one scene in particular that's very, like, problematic is not the word. It's very like confrontational, and it's like you're having to confront a few things at once.
Damn.
And you know, because when this kid says that it's her husband, and then he wants to get in a bathtub with her, this is not okay. And it's like, no, this is not okay. And he's like, yeah, that's right, it's not. So check it out.
We're doing it.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was super fascinating. And then the end, like, fucking is great. It's got a great score by Alexandre Desplat. I don't know how you say his name. I usually hate on that guy because he's getting nominated every other year.
The Desplat?
Yeah.
We're going to have problems with French names today, apparently.
And then, I wanted to rewatch Sexy Beast, which is Glazer's first movie.
Oh, is that what that was?
That's Ben Kingsley?
Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
You never heard of that shit? Yeah. It's, I had not seen it since early 2000s, and it was good back then. But now knowing, like, the context of who's doing it and all that, Ben Kingsley is a fucking monster in this movie. And it's considered kind of one of the best, like, crime, British crime movies. And it's fucking, it's great. And it's aged, like, in fact, when I saw it in the early 2000s, I wasn't ready for some of this stuff. It's aged extremely well. But Kingsley's character, Don Logan, is one of the most, like, fucking volatile characters I've ever seen in a movie.
Dang.
And he loves repeating things like, no, 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 no. Which is great because I love that kind of.
That's a very Ben Kingsley thing.
It's like, and I'm pretty. Glazer does his own screenplays too, which is also dope because it's like his vision. So this was all in preparation to go see Zone of Interest, though. somewhat. And so we watched, Sophia and I watched all three of those in a weekend. And yeah, Zone of Interest, I just like,
is that a definite theater watch?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to say even more than anything. I don't have to do that. But Jacob mentioned on the front end, it lulls you into this like receptive state, like because it starts in absolute darkness with Michael Levy's score, the same guy who did the score for Under the Skin. Mm. So they're going to fuck like this with that topic.
Yeah. And they use it sparingly, the score. And when it does, it's fucking hits, man.
Yeah.
And
there's some creepy, extremely experimental stuff done with night vision photography here and a sound that's like,
oh, weird.
They use infrared, like black and white infrared.
Oh, infrared, not night vision.
Is it infrared? Is that what it
might be? Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. But yeah, it's
that would be weird because it'd be almost be too modern of a filming tactic for that.
That's why uses it in an aesthetic way. That's not weird. Like,
okay.
Yeah, neat. It's pretty dope. And then there's a few scenes that are very much like the pop scene to me in Under the Skin, where they're very fast and they're very effective. Something as simple as like going to from one shot into just a solid color of red and then it stops abruptly is like fucking evokes a lot of stuff because you don't need to see a bunch of blood and gore. It's just like
to get it.
I get it.
Yeah, it's the Holocaust, man.
And it hits you like full bore and then it's just on to the next thing. And then you're still kind of like processing that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that and Poor Things and Oppenheimer are for me, those are the best movies I saw last year. Personally,
yeah,
but anyway, a lot of people will probably think it's slow because I guess it is. Mm-hmm. If it starts out with no images and just sound in the dark, yes, it's going to move like that.
Come in,
yeah. What else? Oh, I watched fucking you know, these toothless memes that are going all over the place.
What?
I'm dancing,
the dancing toothless dragon,
the dancing toothless dragon. Dude, you need to get with the Zoomers.
I've missed it, dude.
Well, Sophia loves them, and I kind of love them. And then she didn't know who he was, so she'd never seen How to Train Your Dragon.
We watched. Oh, the dragon.
The little dragon.
Oh, I was like, I was imagining like meth heads for some reason.
Toothless.
Toothless Borgs. People.
Yeah. The dragon. The dragon.
The dragon.
And I guess that's from a Pokemon game, that song, apparently.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Anyway, we watched that. She'd never seen it.
That's a great film.
It is.
Yeah.
Both of them are pretty good.
They're doing a live action.
There's a third one, too.
Yeah.
There's which a third is not one? So good.
Oh.
Yeah. I think.
They're making a live action, too. I think Gerard Butler's even returning to play the dad or whatever.
That could be okay.
Yeah. It could go either way.
Yeah. I saw some behind the scenes of the practical effects for like the stage play, and it's like dope.
They could literally have the same actors, and it would be totally fine.
They could.
Because what's his name?
Everyone's
Jay Burchell? Jay Burkell?
Fuck him.
No, he's great. Actually, in fact, I watched have you guys seen Goon?
Yeah.
The first one,
hockey movie?
Yeah.
Holy fuck, is that good.
That's a good movie.
God damn. I saw that a couple days ago.
Is that movie?
That he's the goon.
Yeah, he's the goon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, what's her name?
Sabretooth.
There's I forget, Carrie Coon.
Mm.
She's very good.
You can't say that word, dude.
That's her name.
Well.
Tell her.
Well,
that's it. So that was fun. And then we watched, I got into Mr. Robot finally.
You were saying.
Oh, it's fucking, I like that show a lot. Okay, moving on. Night Country, episode 2. Okay.
Ugh.
Kathleen Kennedy's,
damn.
True Detective season 4 continues. And, fuck, man, I'll let everyone else catch up to me. I'm not saying anything else.
All right, well.
You guys
well,
fucking watch that.
I'm gonna watch
I want you to like, see...
Yeah, I mean,
let me know if I'm fucking nuts. And I'm not talking about like any political thing here. I'm talking about the execution and the lack of tension and the lack of chemistry. And oh my God, in episode 2, they have these tie-ins to episode 1 that's just this fan service stuff that just makes you smack yourself in the face.
It's you mean season 1?
Oh yeah, sorry, to season 1. Like, fucking, I don't know.
I know, everyone wants
to... You know what I'm talking about?
I know, like, yeah, because you have the fans that wanted
is
that.
Is Russ Cole going to be in this one?
It's a total overcorrection. It's a ham-fisted overcorrection.
Yeah. And it's his dad, bro.
Does he dance? Does he really dance?
It's fucking stupid. It's fucking, if it was, you know what? That doesn't have to be bad, but the rest of it, it's,
all right.
I just read one line that someone quoted on Reddit, and they're like, there's a scene where they're getting like an expert opinion, and someone says, speak English, nerd, or something like
yeah,
that.
There's, which, Jodie Foster says that, which is like, oh, you're an idiot? Okay, cool.
You're an
idiot.
I love that. And racist.
I love that for you.
Yeah, that's good.
Jodie Foster, main character, idiot. Okay, no. And then... And then, because the guy doesn't even say much. Like, he doesn't say much. It's not fucking like some super, super technical talk, honestly. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. I started Has-Been Hotel. You heard stuff about that? It's A24's animated show on Prime. The premise is there's hell is getting, every few years, people are trying to get out of hell, and it's animated. And then, like, the fucking angelic overlords of heaven come and do these mass fucking murders to keep like hell occupied and push them back down there. But there's this place, basically it's a rehab clinic in hell that gets set up so that they can possibly get rehabilitated. And it's like got, it's super, super queer stuff. By queer, I mean literally queer, like LGBTQ stuff. And all of that's very normalized, very adult cartoon. It's a cool premise. I've watched two or three episodes. It's pretty fun.
Hmm. All right.
And American Nightmare docuseries on Netflix.
Okay.
It's fucking dope. It's a very good docuseries. This Chowchilla docuseries, or it's just a documentary on HBO Max about the biggest mass kidnapping in U.S. history, is fucking amazing. It's an hour and a half. It's only an hour and a half. It's not like several episodes. Really amazing story, and it's definitely worth watching. I feel like I'm missing something.
That's all right. Don't feel bad.
I feel bad.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back.
Okay, bye.
Hey, guess what?
What?
We're fucking back, dude.
I forgot you got a fucking deadline.
A little bit. We don't have to be done right at 2. If we're cooking, I'll let it go.
I'm gonna mention this. I'm gonna let you finish. The fucking Curse season 1 finale was insanity. Fucking insanity.
Okay.
Fucking crazy. And a lot of the listeners in our Patreon already know. Like, dude, I am waiting to see what you think of that, Jacob, yeah, when you get there.
And now it's over. Like, it's binge time.
And yeah. Christopher Nolan himself hosts a fucking Q&A with Safdie, and
he loved it so much, yeah.
That's weird.
It's, dude, because you only saw one episode of Nathan For You. That's not,
I saw like 3.
That's not like, well.
It's not enough, dude.
It's honestly not. The rehearsal.
Torture yourself with the whole season.
The rehearsal is when I'm like, oh, he's like kind of fucking beyond what I thought.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film from 2001 called Brotherhood of the Wolf, a.k.a. Le Pacte de Loup, I think is how you say that. Directed by Christoph Gans, written by Stephanie Gable, Christoph Gans, starring Samuel LeBihan, Marcus Dacascos, a.k.a. what's his name in the fucking Iron Chef?
Oh, fuck.
Same guy.
He's the Iron Chef. Yeah.
He's not the Iron Chef. He's the
host.
The consigliere. Is that what he's called? I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. This
he's
is
a, Jeffrey Epstein.
What?
What is the host? What do you mean? All right, go on. I got you, dude.
You did. You got me. I don't even know.
He's broke now. Yeah.
Jeez.
That's.
This is a. It's. This is a French pseudo drama that has some horror elements to it.
It's a French romance, kung fu,
adventure,
action, adventure, fantasy, horror,
period piece,
romance, period piece.
It is periody as fuck.
Inspired by true events.
I will say this. You go say this. You say what you're saying. You're saying it.
Well, I mean, okay. So I have pretty positive memories of this movie, but it has been forever since I've watched it. Maybe same. Since 2001.
Yeah.
I do not remember it being 2.5 hours fucking long.
It's the Dark Knight, dude.
There are times when I go, oh, this is over. Like, this movie's got to be wrapping up. And I look at the time, and there's an hour left. And I go, okay, well, okay, now it's got to be over. And it's 50 minutes left.
Fuck yeah.
And then I go, okay, we're at the point. Okay, we're at the point where it's almost over. 40 minutes left. This motherfucker plods, dude. And there are times when I feel bad for even suggesting people watch this movie because it is a tough watch. That being said, there is a lot of cool material in this film. I like the idea of this monster construct wolf creature thing. I like the idea of the main baddie being kind of like sort of psychically connected to it with this fucked up hand that he has. I like the idea that like the Templar had...
It's like an anime, but live action.
Yeah. I like the idea that the Templar has had like its hooks in this community for thousands of years. There's a whole lot of good stuff going on. But man, they needed to leave maybe an hour and a half on the chopping block.
An hour and a half.
Damn. There are some things like I do enjoy. There's some scenes at a whorehouse that are very interesting to me. But half of them have got to go.
You talking about the Monica Bellucci boob transition?
Yeah. Like
she turned into mountains.
not my. I don't have a problem with that scene.
No.
Any Monica Bellucci.
Yeah, stuff. Monica Bellucci stuff. I'm good. But the stuff where they're like, "Oh, governor, can we have a? You want to have a little bit of a shag?"
Yeah, they spread that shit out for 15 minutes.
It's too fucking much.
They revisit a lot of locations
and the aristocracy times. Stuff. Is while it's interesting in some scenes, dude, there's like, okay, we're gonna go back to fucking France, and then we're gonna go back to the village, and we're gonna go back to fucking France, and then we're gonna go back to the castle, and then we're gonna go back to France.
You're like, this is not a fucking series in one episode.
Yeah.
Like, stop it.
They're trying to cram like a full season of television into 2.5 hours, and it is tiresome. That being said, I do rather enjoy this film. All things being.
Yeah.
Equal. Anywho, Jacob?
I loved it as a kid, but for different reasons. The video gamey aspects of it. I mean, this guy is a game fan. He did the Silent Hill movie. Mm-hmm. He's working on another Silent Hill movie. He's working on a Fatal Frame movie. So, I mean, I think the Chainsword was actually inspired by Ivy from the fucking Soul Calibur and shit. Like, this movie's got a lot of weird shit. It kind of blurs the line between like a B movie and just it being kind of just purely very European in style. It does a lot of shit that I don't think Western audiences were ready for. But
your kids are going to love it.
Yeah, it's wild. And I love the action. I like some of the pacing, but yeah, there are moments where it really drags. It feels longer than Oppenheimer. So it feels like it's 10x long. I mean, it's got like five genres. You could probably take out two of them and I'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
I like the art direction. It feels like it had a huge impact on shit like Bloodborne, you know, the video game, the tricorn hats and cool trench coats. And I like the characters.
It is very Bloodborne-y.
Yeah, I know I'm very limited with my video game because I felt the video game stuff for sure. But even like the design choices and location parts of Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
Like the interiors, like of the midsection of that game.
And when it gets to like the culty, it reminded me of even Silent Hill at that point. So
those moments in the cabin where the monster's like busting up through the floor, like the super Resident Evil. That's a good point for sure.
You said it, dude. The art and set direction.
You're just agreeing with it? I know video games.
You know, the costumes, there is a lot of CGI, especially with the beast itself, but I like that. If it wasn't just the beast, everything else had to be practical. And even when there was practical shit with the monster, it's Jim Henson doing it. And I wish we just got more of that because it was really fucking cool.
The practical stuff with the wolf, with the beast is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's great. But, well, anyway, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But, yeah, that's me for now. What'd you think of this?
Lord of the Rings, Brotherhood of the Wolf is an insanely ambitious horror hybrid genre mashup. one of the, honestly, I mean, I'll say that it's worth saying that it merits that. It's one of the most ambitious horror hybrid films I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's all the things we mentioned. And it's pretty fucking, it's pretty adept at the choreography. The fight stuff has a lot of impact. This is almost 20 years later, and a lot of that fight stuff was brutal. Mm-hmm. It's very well choreographed. Like you guys mentioned, I think the story and the plot, like fucking Jorge said too, it's got so much cool shit in it. It's got tons of cool stuff in it. The stuff about Vatican fucking spies and the Templar stuff and the cult stuff and all of that. And then like the knight and the fucking Native American, like all of it's fucking really well, like it's a great, there's a story to tell and it is a long story. Mm-hmm. The production design's fucking pretty immaculate. I don't know what the budget was, but it looks like it's a much more bigger budget movie than it probably is.
Yeah.
The monster stuff, like you guys mentioned, the CGI has not aged well in all most of the direct CGI scenes, but the tactile practical effects are pretty fantastic. The biggest issue here is just it's so ambitious. I wish I had seen it. This was my first watch.
Yeah.
I wish I had seen it in a theater because I think it – you know, when you're in a theater, you don't have any other option but to take in the whole thing as it is, and it would bug me less. But I would still feel that its length. I think like an hour, 45 minutes, or even 2 hours. Like if you cut 30 minutes off this, that would go a long way. And I think that you could do that without sacrificing a lot of these plot and character developments. Yeah. You know,
I think I think for me, and I don't want to, I don't want to be like, oh, dude, like I want to see more fucking, but.
Budget, by the way, is $29 million.
It's up there on the screen.
It's there.
It made 70
just worldwide. Just in costumes alone.
And it made 70 worldwide, which is pretty fucking great for a horror hybrid French film.
Two and a half hour
French film.
Yeah. I want to say this. I think that like if you juxtapose, because the movie is at its best, I think. When you've got the sort of like the psychosexual stuff right next to action and fighting and death.
Yeah.
But when it's protracted out between like a really cool, I don't want to say a cool sex scene because, I mean, that's what it is, right? But when you've got
Monica Bellucci writing that dude is a cool sex.
When you've got a sex scene and then you've got like 20 minutes of, you know, dudes in tricorn hats discussing, you know,
is that what they're called?
I think so, yeah. Tricorn hats. Yeah. Or not even tricorn hats, the fucking wigs too. Okay. You've got that and it's like I've lost my movie boner a little bit. Like I want to go directly from a cool scene where they're fighting to maybe the whorehouse, to maybe some fighting, and then we can discuss some of the like the world building stuff. I think my biggest problem is that because it's so fucking lengthy, I'm losing focus in a lot of the.
I think him having two like love interests, or at least you have Monica Bellucci and then an actual love interest, that draws it out. Like a lot of screen time is spent with the redhead chick, his true love and all that. I feel like if they just took her out, we would have gotten rid of like the boring, lengthy dinner scenes and shit like that. And they just, I wish Monica Bellucci was more of a main character. She didn't really have a chance to shine till like the second half.
And I will say too, I think there's some actual good earned laughs in this movie. There's a couple times where I'm like, fuck, that was actually really funny. When
those buttholes up, boys. He says that
when he's about to get into
what
a
do you
fight,
mean? What do you mean?
Get into a fight with those three savages, and he does that face back at them. I was like, "That's a brilliant little moment in this otherwise like fairly heavy film." I just kind of want more of that. I want more moments that are meaningful as opposed to drawn out scenes that are meaningful.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think also just on paper too, like this movie just looks like a joke. It just sounds like a silly fucking B movie, but like it's kind of impressive how serious they try to play it straight, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things that could either be outright disaster, like you're saying, or just like all time fucking like visionary cinema. And it's it's neither. I'm not saying it's middling either.
It's neither, but it's both.
Well, no, I don't think it's... I'm not even saying it's a middling movie. I think it's pretty fucking competent. I just think it's too...
Yeah.
It's overextended.
The director is a huge inspiration. He loved Michael Mann's Last of the Mohicans, and he was just like, I want that movie, but with like more backflips.
More backflips and a fucking CGI wolf.
Yeah.
And fucking Templar.
And Predator sound effects.
Wait a minute. And so
there was a lot of
I got to say, I mean, I prefer this movie over Last of the Mohicans. So, you know.
Speaking of which, of Predator stuff, right? There are a few little, I kind of wondered if they were nods. The stuff, the practical parts where they have all those traps for it, like that section.
That's what I was mostly alluding to.
Yeah, that shit is fucking dope. That is something like, I'm watching that and I'm like, I can't believe I've never seen this shit. This is some of the best shit I've seen of this time period for anything like this.
Yeah.
And the music even was kind of like, I'm like, this is like Predator. This is dope. Like I could watch 45 minutes of this shit. Like, do that. But again, they've made that movie already, right? You know, and it makes some kind of like ballsy decisions with the plot. Like, not ballsy, but I didn't know where this was going to go. Yeah. It ends up being like the good guys versus the bad guys type deal, which is fine. Well, I mean,
yeah, a surprising amount of focus on like Native American shit and
with Manny.
Manny was a great character.
Right.
I think it's probably like his best role.
Well, there's some thematic stuff about the Enlightenment.
Only the Strong, dude? Fuck you.
No.
So, I don't like doing
Cupiera?
The...
Afuera, yeah.
Who is that? What's his name? Damascos?
Dacascos.
He was also in John Wick 2 or 3.
He was great in John Wick.
Yeah, and what's crazy, it's the same cinematographer as John Wick 2 through 4. He shot this movie. And I do think the action is... Well, I know you could tell it's in this post-Matrix world where there's a lot of like ramp-ups and slow-mo shit. Which, I mean, it's pretty well done in this, but
you could almost,
I could do without it.
You could almost see where this movie had already wrapped, and the editors are looking at it like, dude, we need to do some slow-mo. Because it wasn't shot in slow-mo. No. It was definitely like just regular film slowed down.
Yeah.
So you can see that it was an afterthought in a lot of these scenes. This wasn't natively in slow-mo. You just fucking cranked the speed down.
Yeah. You could re-edit that entire movie and it'll play out so differently. I think the editing has a huge influence on this movie. Totally.
And that's it.
Is there?
Thank you for. No.
You think there's a 90-minute edit of this movie out there somewhere? That it just.
Well, the director's cut was longer, as they tend to be.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I need you to see this art direction.
He's like, look.
Look at these leaves.
He's like, Jean Valjean is gonna show up.
That would be fucking.
And it's gonna be nuts.
That would be fucking. That's dope. They're doing a Dolby re-release of Les Miserables in February, so I know you guys will both be there.
I'll watch that.
You would?
Yeah, of course. How the fuck do you think I know Jean Valjean?
Because you're fucking educated. Because you read Cliff's Notes.
I would have not read Cliff's Notes. That's of Les Mis.
No, I love like defending Victor Hugo, but I haven't like read the book. You know what I mean? He's a fucking genius. Never read that book. Well, it's too long.
Like this one still image of
look at that shit
of Manny doing this like flat jump with this fucking
thing coming down,
rocky or spiky log thing behind.
Too much.
It's brilliant,
too
much. Dude.
Very that Predator scene. Yeah, I remember the trailers. You know, in Hollywood, the way they advertised it here is just all action.
It was crazy. Yeah. I remember the trailer, and they had the scene where he jumps. And then they had the scene where the fucking wolf is jumping out. And then they had the scene where he fucking flips the little knives.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, dude, this movie is going to go hard. And you're in the theaters and it's like...
It's not that.
It's not that. But it is.
Yeah. It is that, too.
I think if people... And I'm a huge fan of this film I'm about to mention. But people do want like a little bit more on the action side. It does remind me a little bit of 13th Warrior.
I'm
a big fan of that movie.
You know what, dude? On my McTiernan fest last time, you know what else he directed?
What, McTiernan?
Yeah,
Predator.
The fucking 13th Warrior.
And 13th Warrior. And
there were a lot of people that saying the 13th Warrior was a Beowulf allegory. Is it? I remember
Bullyvife is Grendel.
The main character is Bullyvife. They call him, and then they call the instead of it being a dragon, it's a they think it's a dragon coming, but
the snake.
Yeah. So and that's like the scene where they're all laying down and stuff. That's the whole mess hall in Beowulf where they all get slaughtered. That's supposed to be that scene. But it's what it is that tale ends up in time becoming the Beowulf story over time, because through iterations, it starts off
more fantastically.
The telephone game.
Because the Antonio, this is the 13th Warrior episode now, but he plays Ibn Fadlan, who's like a famous Arabian scholar who was like one of the first people to document like all of his travels around the world. And
the CGI in the front of that movie is the worst part, I think, of him in Arabia. I want to show Sophia that movie, though, because I think she really likes like hardcore movies like that.
Yeah.
She just doesn't like it when they fucking simulate killing animals. Like, sorry.
Brotherhood of the Wolf had a lot of that.
Yeah. Dude, when it got to the fucking, I'm so glad she did not see the shot, especially after this Mark thing, like not even see the shot of all the dead wolves.
Man, I couldn't believe that
how'd they do that.
So this is 2001, right? Yeah. So we're not in a pre-woke world. I mean, you know, animals are not being abused on a regular basis in 2001. But those scenes where you actually see the wolves like do like a flip and it's
when he gets shot, I was like, what the hell? Yeah, did they do that? I go,
that's an actual wolf. They flip the fucking wolf or a dog. Or whatever.
Maybe in France they're like, fuck that wolf.
We will
suck le bleu.
We will flip the wolf.
Fucking frogs.
Jesus.
No, just kidding. What? I don't even. What is that? Is that a. Did people. Is that like a big fucking thing to call the French?
Calling French people frogs? It
has something to do with.
Do we need to make a mark on the thing?
French. Like, it has something they were like quote unquote like swamp type people. So they call them frogs.
Never mind. You're not swamp people at all.
Why do the English refer to French as frogs?
That's dope. It's the British. The British fuck with people. They've done more fucking damage than any empire ever. Did you know that?
What?
Like the most territory ever like ruled on this planet is easily even more than Genghis Khan and more than Rome is the United Kingdom, the British Empire.
You see one of the
British Empire like is the worst.
I agree.
Well, that's what even measurably, like there was a measurement scale of the damage they did and the area they ruled. And it was just like, more than Genghis Khan, that's impressive. You know?
You're like, oh, those are good numbers, like, dude.
Fuck, Alexander the Great is rolling over in his grave.
What? Remember you see that video? It's like one of the one of the princes like trying to shake Cillian Murphy's hand and he's like, get the fuck out of here, dude. He gave him like this dead fish handshake and then looked at him like, what the fuck?
And where?
There's some red carpet premiere. One of the prince like wanted to congratulate Cillian Murphy and he was like, fuck you, dude.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Damn, he's going to die now. He's going to die or be framed on Epstein Island.
He's going to have a mysterious suicide.
Hell yeah. No, wait. When you go back to 13th Warrior.
Yeah.
That was based on a book. Called Eaters of the Dead by Michael Crichton.
I own it, yeah.
Do you?
Eaters of the Dead is amazing.
Courtney bought it.
That's what I always heard. So, yeah.
Yeah, because the main dude, Ibn Fadlan, that's kind of like what it's based off. It gets all like super meta now that I think about it. It's like a story with a thing and there's Beowulf and it's fucking
Yeah, it's crazy. Kind of like a meta text a little bit because it's got other... And
is it a meta rext?
I'll let you sit there. Wait a minute. What else can we say about Brotherhood of the Wolf?
It's fucking dope.
Yeah, Vincent Cassell is dope.
It is.
Always. Always dope.
He's such a great actor. Yeah. And it's like, so we...
And when he rapes his sister, you believe he's raping his sister. You know what I mean? Like, he makes you feel it.
If anybody's going to rape his sister, it's this guy.
He played a real
creepy. The character.
He feels like a true, like, necromancer, like, evil fantasy bad guy. Like, he played it up.
You know, the only thing that I'm upset by is that, like, he's a French, like, he's like a top guy in French living. Cut those fucking, even the monster hand can have a manicure, dude. Like, cut them fingernails down. Like, make it look nice.
It is gross.
Yeah. It's more cinematic.
It doesn't have to look disgusting. Now, what was the deal with that hand?
That wasn't my brother who came back from Africa, she said, right? So what's the deal here? I didn't want to turn this into the book report where we just give a plot synopsis.
Maybe he made a pact with the devil and it took over his hand?
Is that the idea?
I don't know. There's a lot of plot and a lot of plotting in this film, and I feel like if you fucking look away from
there's a lot of plot and a lot of plotting.
No way. If you look away and tune out for like 5 minutes, you'll miss some crazy shit.
If you take a Pornhub break, you're like, fuck, I'm out.
Or you take a 15-minute break and you ain't miss shit. That also
it's hit and miss, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, they were in a whorehouse this whole time? What the fuck?
I know, there was like a 10-minute taxidermy scene, and I would tuned out when he was like intricately.
That's making true, and it had the belt fucking.
Yeah, I was like, damn, it's like really well shot and everything, but I'm like, this is a very.
They made the little plastic eyes and everything.
They made it seem like it was gonna it seem like it was gonna be unveiled and it was gonna be a monstrosity, and then when they get to Paris? Is that where they were going?
I'm assuming. I don't know.
They want to ship it to Paris.
Yeah, they get to Paris and they unveil it. I'm like, oh, it's just a fucking wolf with red stripes. It's like, it's not so fucking
fake. Yeah.
There was like, this thing's supposed to have metal teeth.
Yeah, and I wasn't even paying attention to like the young boy that was with them, and then turns out he was like the narrator of the whole story and shit. I was like, yeah. Fucking what else?
It kind of gets lost in all its details a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, which is, again, it's just ambition. It's very ambitious.
Which is good when it hits, when the details when the details are meaningful. Man, but when there's that scene where they're talking about like, "Oh, general, you weren't able to kill the beast. You've been dismissed." And then he's still there the next scene. I go, "Well, then that didn't mean anything."
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and then the freaking when you mentioned the production design, the director, how he did Silent Hill. This guy, it's cool because definitely French, but loves video games. And you can feel both.
Yeah.
You can feel both. So it's like tasteful and gory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good production values. And you see that in Silent Hill too, with like when Pyramid Head is on screen, those are like really like visually fucking fantastic scenes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like I don't need much. I'm not mad at the movie for its lack of story in those scenes. I'm like, this guy respected the fuck out of showing Pyramid Head in this movie.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So like, it's very aesthetic horror tropes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And very Gothic or Victorian kind of in its style. I know it's not really that time period, but it very much reminds me of like this total melding of 13th Warrior and Sleepy Hollow, where it has a lot of that investigative shit in the beginning and your Ichabod type character.
And I do like the notion a lot, like, well, naturally, that the Vatican set up, basically the Vatican set up initially at least, or assisted the cult in that the beast is a way to undermine and remind the government, like, of like who actually has control here.
Yep.
But then that becomes, it gets unwieldy and becomes its own cult and all of that. But, it's during the Enlightenment era, right? And, you know, there's a line of dialogue where it's like the Enlightenment has driven him mad because it's this era where, like, the idea was that breakthroughs in science and advances in that stuff would bring people to a new, like, better place of living. The French Revolution, like, things are going to be better than they ever were because of science.
And it was post the Inquisition.
Right. And it's like, things are going to be great. Yeah. And no, they're not, because humans are still humans. And meanwhile, the church is like, fuck the Enlightenment. Like, we're going to go, we're going to do what we have to do to retain power.
They spread as much influence, yeah.
Yeah, so all of that fucking stuff, the thematic stuff is great.
I would love to have a conversation with somebody who really, really, really knows the ins and outs of the Inquisition.
He's here. That's me.
I mean, somebody who actually really knows.
Oh, okay.
You know, about the Knights Templar and all that stuff that, you know.
I bought a book at a thrift store, but I didn't read it.
Yeah. I would almost be willing to like see if we could find somebody like a theologian scholar and invite him on and just fucking talk about Catholicism and it's like under like its seedy underbelly. It would be fascinating to me.
And we'll review Spotlight.
Yeah.
Whoa.
See what he thinks of that.
Jeez.
It's my favorite movie. I watch it like 3 times. No, I'm kidding.
Damn,
son.
Can't wait to see that list again.
Yeah.
Look at all them.
Look at all them lists.
Yeah. So,
It's on Shudder.
It's on basically everything. The version on Amazon, don't watch it. It's just the dubbed version that they have on there. And it is le trash.
Yeah, Shudder has the Shout Factory newly restored from 2021 version. And if you do buy the physical copy, I think it's like 4K or something. Yeah, so it's a new master.
Yeah,
that's the director's cut, right?
Yeah,
it 2 hours, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the one on Amazon is 2 hours 30 also, but it's just the dubbed version, which is trash.
And that came out theatrically. It was dubbed.
Someone will do the Lord's work and make a list of the moments you can fast forward with this film.
Yeah, you're like fast forward from 30 to 48 minutes.
Yeah.
And then last hour.
Yeah. There's like a cut on YouTube.
Yeah. That was like me. I had it ready. I just never did it because it was a huge undertaking. I wanted to edit down Terrifier 2. Oh, but God. Then what I did was I deleted the whole movie because
I was gonna say that it'd be 30 minutes, but no, the whole fucking thing. You're all, it's like mashed potatoes scene. That's it.
Yeah. I was like, you know, this is a lot easier than I thought. I just deleted the whole movie.
You know, I knew where that joke was going, but your delivery was fucking perfect, dude.
So deadpan.
Oh, jeez, man.
So our slate has no thematic thread whatsoever.
Nope. Yep.
Do you guys want to pivot and do a werewolf thing or no? Or you want to go?
As long as we can include Wolf with Jack Nicholson. That's my only demand.
Well, I'm thinking there's Dog Soldiers, Ginger Snaps. I've never seen either.
We rewatched Dog Soldiers and I gotta... It's not good.
Let's not do this werewolf thing then. Yeah. We'll get to American Werewolf. There's not
many of those good ones.
And American Werewolf in London we'll get to eventually.
If you do want a light version of Brotherhood of the Wolf and more Western, I kind of recommend. A lot of people didn't like it, but I liked it for some reason. I saw it 3 times in theaters. The Cursed with Boyd Holbrook.
A couple years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
What about The Wolfman with Benicio Del Toro? Oh,
no. They fucked over those special effects artists, dude.
Know, look, we're just going to watch Wolf 3 times. How about that?
Dude, I haven't seen Wolf since the 90s,
it's fucking crazy. It's not good, dude. I watched it within the last 8 years. It's something else.
It's not even a werewolf. He turns into an actual wolf.
Right? Yeah, he does.
It's a werewolf.
It's a werewolf. And Mike Nichols does that movie, which is a trip. Mike Nichols made a career of doing movies about psychosexual stuff between men and women.
Well, it was in that era of Jack Nicholson doing The Witches of Eastwick?
Well, he was in the 80s with Witches of Eastwick, but it's mid-90s. So he's in his, like, it's right before As Good As It Gets. And in between Batman and As Good As It Gets. Well, it makes, dude, on paper, Mike Nichols, he did fucking Working Girl, but who cares about that? He did The Graduate.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck else did Mike Nichols do? Look that homie up. He did a great fucking series called Angels in America, which was fucking great on HBO. It's one of the best miniseries I've ever seen. You're looking up Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
Fuck you, man.
What?
What we need to look up Mike Nichols. Mike motherfucking Nichols.
Well, I'm getting there.
Hold on. Closer. Did you ever see Closer with Clive Owen and fucking Jude Law, Julia Roberts, and Natalie Portman?
Fuck no.
They're in relationships and they cheat on each other and all this stuff. Clive Owen's fucking dope in that movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, so on paper it's like, oh, he's gonna stretch a little bit and do a psychosexual drama. But it's going to be about man's wolf-like
it's
nature.
It's crazy, dude. This director has the balls to cast Nicholson with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Well, that's the Joker and fucking Catwoman.
That's crazy, dude. And they're like sexual partners in this movie, which is nuts.
Yeah, my parents had a recorded VHS tape of it.
Oh, my God in heaven.
He's a wolf, dude.
He's a wolf, bro. Dude. Look at him.
What was that? Without sound? He's just autistic. We should do wolf.
Hey, look.
Okay, wait. We'll get to it. Okay, so we're sticking with our crazy all over the place
thing. You have a slate on you?
Yeah, well, I had it in my... It's in here.
It's a dome piece, dude.
And I can't believe you haven't seen Amadeus. It's in here, dude.
Yeah.
I have it here.
It's in what, period piece month?
period piece month.
And we just talk about Amadeus. Yeah, we're
fucking educated.
Next up would be Existence.
Okay.
That's next.
Special Patreon exclusive on Hackers.
God. And we have a king pick. He's made it, right?
What did he say it was? Oh, Japanese Evil Dead. That one.
Oh, bloody body.
Dude, I started that and I fucking loved it.
No, I've seen it three times at the bar. It always plays at the bar and I love it.
I'm very, yeah.
Yeah, I got to sit down and actually absorb that.
That shit looks fucking wild.
It is. It's fucking crazy fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
After that, if we're still doing disturbing behavior, which is...
I'm putting all of my trust into you guys without, because I'm going in blind. I don't know a single thing about disturbing behavior. Have you not
seen disturbing behavior?
I've seen disturbing behavior.
Oh, okay, well, I think we have to subject Jacob to disturbing behavior. I think that's part
it's
of it.
It's a terrible fucking... It's important. It's important. It should be in the Library of Congress. I was about to say it's a terrible movie, but I retract that.
It's terribly important.
We need... Yes, it's probably the best time capsule of the late 90s, early 2000s that ever exists. It'll show you.
It's got. Look, let me tell you. It's got fucking Offspring. The.
Oh, nice.
It has. Is Katie Holmes?
Yeah.
It has a dude getting a blowjob in a car, and other things happen that I can't say here.
James yes. Marsden.
Marsden is in.
Oh,
it.
Oh, Cyclops is in there, acting like he's 40 and he's in high school.
Nice.
No.
Yeah.
But, damn, it's a bad movie, but it's an important
film.
Hey,
what if he loves it, dude?
He might love it. And then there was, what the hell did we say after that, you guys?
I don't know.
I'll revisit that. But okay. Next up, are we in agreement for Existence?
Existence.
That's a little different than Brotherhood of the Wolf.
A little bit. And Hackers? Patreon?
I'm fucking totally... Hackers is still on Amazon Prime, Jorge.
I watch Hackers...
He's pretty. Never seen Hackers. Whoa. Do you get what I mean?
That's crazy. Yeah.
So this is like...
No, but I've actually been personally saving up to do a Hackers Existence, like, double feature. So I figure this will be the time.
I almost want to...
Right?
I almost want to watch it with him.
Well, we probably... That's what I mean. Like, you say these things because we're in the moment. It's so enticing.
You guys have done a watch along here, right?
But...
We haven't. I almost want to watch it with him.
Then how do we do it? Right. I don't know how to do that.
Let's talk about that when we...
Okay.
But that's what's up next.
Dude, if we could get everyone to watch this movie at the same time,
we could make
all six
maybe,
of us, that would be nuts.
Or host it on fucking Discord, host the movie, stream it.
If we could do a live viewing, like... Can we do it here? We could do it here.
I don't. It's up to you.
We'll figure that out. We'll figure that out. Yeah. Okay, well, that's the Gozer Podcast for episode 405. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Rhett. Bye, Sophia.
We don't say that anymore. Sorry.
That's what I say it.
Well, you say it. We don't. Bye, Sophia. The collective doesn't say it anymore because it's inappropriate, to be honest.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.